All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. I'm actually going to take one of these. All right, let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Va'ira. As I mentioned last week, the difficulty always in these parashios is trying to figure out what to speak about. There are so many incredibly important and pivotal cathartic events that occur in every week's parsha that, you know, especially in Parshas Va'ira, of course, our attention is usually naturally drawn to the Akedah, right, to the end of the parsha, ultimately, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Avraham Avinu to sacrifice his one and only son. Mm-hmm. We're not going to focus on the Akedah. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the beginning of the parsha. So before we start, of course, it's important that we dedicate our learning tonight. Today was a very difficult day in Eretz Yisrael with two attacks, one in the morning in Yerushalayim of a terrorist driving his van into one of the light rail stations, again killing a border policeman and injuring 14 people. And then there was an attack again right outside of Beit Lechem on three soldiers, again another vehicular attack. And Baruch Hashem, no one was killed in that situation, but three of the soldiers are in serious condition. So hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a refuah shalema to all of those who were injured, to all those ultimately who require that refuah, and in the merit of our learning, it should come quickly, expeditiously, and they should experience an entire refuah for the days ahead. Amen. Okay, so let's begin with number one. Vayera elav Hashem. So remember, the parsha opens with a very interesting encounter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu be'ilonei mamre, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'ol kechom ayom, and he's sitting at the entrance of his tent, and the day was hot. Vayisa inav, he lifted his eyes, vayar, and he saw, v'hinei shlosha anoshim nitzavim alav, vayar, vayarat likrasami pesach ha'ol vayishtachu arza. So Avraham Avinu sees these three men, these three strangers, who are outside in the middle of the heat of the day, and Avraham Avinu runs to greet them. Vayomer Adonai, im namatza sichin beinecha, al na ta'avor me'alav decha. And Avraham Avinu says, my masters, if I have found favor in your eyes, please don't pass by my tent. Please allow me to invite you. And of course, we know how the rest of the narrative unfolds, that these three individuals who just look like three nomadic strangers are, of course, not nomadic, not human strangers at all, but rather three malachim, three angelic emissaries, dispatched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu to be able to fulfill a whole variety of tasks, to heal Avraham Avinu from the pain of circumcision, of bris milah, to announce the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, and ultimately again to save Lot and his family, well, to destroy and to save Lot and his family from stone. But I don't want to focus on the angelic emissaries. Instead, what I want to point out is a very interesting but nuanced question, which is, the Torah introduces this parasha by telling us that God appeared to Avraham Avinu. Yet what seems to be missing? What did he say? What was the dialogue? In general, again, throughout Chumash, not just Chumash, throughout Tanakh, whenever there is a divine appearance is almost always followed by divine dialogue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to someone, not for the sake, God doesn't stop in to say hi. The Ribono Shel Olam, when he appears, ultimately appears to communicate some message. And yet here, the Torah simply tells us that God appeared to Avram, and yet there is no record. There is no discussion in terms of what the content, the nature of the dialogue was. Which leads us to a very simple question, which is, what is the nature of this divine appearance? What is it? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to Avraham Avinu? And the truth is, remember, it's very important. You know, we all like Bereishis. And why do we like, why do most of us like Bereishis out of all the Chumashim? Because we like stories. Now remember again, you know, this is the first Rashi in Chumash. The first Rashi in Bereishis, Baruch Hu, and Shrine Hasar. So Rashi says, Lohaya, the Torah didn't have to start from Bereishis. Where should the Torah have started from? Parshas Bo, HaChodesh HaZelachem, where the Torah seeks out the first mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new moon. What's bothering Rashi, of course, is this idea that the Torah is not a storybook. The Torah is a book of law. So if the Torah is not a storybook, so then why do we have so many stories within the Torah? And the answer is because anytime you find a story in the Torah, the story is not there for the informational purposes. It's not there for the story's sake, but rather the stories are there because they teach us moral, ethical lessons as well. As such, many of the Mefarshim explain that all of the stories, because remember, if you think the Torah is a storybook, there are so many stories that we wish were included that are not, right? We don't really know anything about Avraham Avinu's background. We don't know so much about Avraham Avinu's parents. We know the truth is very little about Sarah. We know a lot more about Avraham than we know about Sarah. So the Torah clearly, when it chooses to share with us information, it's because God felt that information was important. That information does not just convey a storyline, but rather that information conveys a moral, ethical lesson. So, as such, for tonight, we have a twofold question. Number one, what is the nature of the divine revelation if it's not followed by any type of dialogue? And number two, what lesson is there for us in this divine revelation? So I want to share with you three different approaches. Take a look at number two. So number two, which is approach number one on your sheet, the Toldos Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef Karo, and you can see a little bit of his biography below. So he writes over something very amazing. Vayira elav Hashem belonei Mamre, v'hu yoshe pesach o kechom hayom. God appeared to Avram in the plains of Mamre, and Avram was sitting at the entranceway of his tent in the heat of the day. V'nirali. So everybody, Toldos Yitzchak is bothered by our question. Why is God appearing to Avram Avinu if there is no dialogue? He says, v'nirali, Shenira elav Hashem. Why does God appear to Avraham? L'sheyihye davik im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God appears to Avraham Avinu for what purpose? Dveikos. What does dveikos mean? Closeness, connection. So says the Toldos Yitzchak, this is not what we'll call a dialogical revelation. God is not here for dialogue. God is not here to talk. This is about dveikos. This is about connection between God and Avram. Shadveikos va'avas Hashem Yisbarach, hu atachlis hayakar she'efshar b'min ha'anoshi. You know, it's interesting that often we try to, many of us struggle with the question of trying to figure out what the purpose of life is, right? What is the purpose of existence? So the truth is, although that answer is different for every single individual, on a very basic level, the goal of existence is dveikos. The goal of existence ultimately is to cling, interconnectedness with God. It's interesting, by the way, because the word davak, dveikos, is used twice in the Torah. First time it's used, we saw it a couple of weeks ago, where the Torah says, Al kein ya'azov ish es aviv v'imo. This is after the creation of Chava, after the creation of the first woman. God says, therefore man will leave his parents, v'davak b'ishto. He will cling to his wife, v'hayu l'basarecha, they become one flesh. Interestingly enough, a couple of chumashim from now, we will find that the Torah also says, v'davak dabo. When talking about the nature of our relationship with God, it says we are to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting that the Torah uses the same word for the marital union, for dveikos, clinging to one spouse, as it does ultimately to describe the nature of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Toldos Yitzchak, what's unfolding over here? What's the nature of this revelation? Is God here to communicate the message? No. What is God here to do? God is here to establish a connection, a closeness, and a relationship with Avram Avinu. He says, Shadveikos va'avas Hashem Yisbarach, because it is this clinging and this love of God, who tachlis hayakar she'esha min ha'anoshi. It's the pinnacle of human accomplishment. If you want to know what's our goal in this world, it's Dveikos ba'Hashem. It's to find a way. You know what our greatest problem with God? Our greatest problem with God is that we are a little non-committal. Like kivyachol, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us how much we love Him, how much He loves us, and we tell Him, God, I love you too. But the truth is, I think we should see other people. I'm not really ready. I love you a lot. I have commitment issues. I'm not sure that I'm actually ready to actually fully commit myself to you. Again, I love you. I'm crazy about you, but I'd like to kind of see what else is out there. So the idea, and the truth is, all kidding aside, if you think about it, that's the source of all of our life troubles and difficulties, is an inability to fully commit to a relationship with God. Because commitment to that relationship, like commitment to any relationship, requires a lot of us. And often we're just simply not willing to give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in totality. So therefore, the Toldos Yitzchak says, the pinnacle of human accomplishment is dveikos, is the sense of connection with God. Again, obviously, we could have a whole class, a whole shiur, just based on what that concept of dveikos means, because it is a difficult concept. But for now, we're just going to talk about it kind of on a panoramic level. V'hu'a o'sheha amiti, this is the true wealth in life. True wealth in life is found in a connection with God. V'hu'a tachlis ha'torah v'amitzos, and the entire reason, right? We have 613 commandments. We come, we learn Torah, we do mitzos, we do chesed. What's the point of all of that? The point of every single thing that we do is to create and engender a sense of dveikus, connection with God. V'imke, ain't sorech levakish tachlis lema shua tachlis ha'achron v'hatov asher koyach sefu. So Tolos Yitzchak says, everyone is wondering why God is appearing to Avram Avinu. It's not a question. There's not, again, this is not a dialogical revelation. God is not here to talk. God is not here to convey a message. God is here to connect with Avram Avinu. V'akavana, so now you'll ask yourself, but why now? Why, meaning, why is Avram Avinu meriting this devekos, this sense of connection? That, remember again, this is not just any connection, but what's happening over here? God is coming to Avraham, which of course is dramatic as well. It's not just connection, but it's divinely initiated connection. Says Tolos Yitzchak, I'll tell you why. V'akavana, shalizchus hamila, nidbak Hashem Yisparach imo, v'Avraham Hashem Yisparach. Why is all this happening over here? Says Tolos Yitzchak, because remember again, what happened at the end of last week's parasha? 99-year-old Avram Avinu circumcises himself. Such incredible sacrifice, such incredible selflessness that engendered a sense of devekos, a sense of connection. And again, so it's a natural progression. The bris milah, the circumcision, happens last week, and then ultimately again, the devekos, the connection, vayera elav Hashem, occurs this week. And number three, the Arachaim HaKadosh says the same basic idea. V'nira ki kavanas ha-kosuf hu sheba lahodia shehishra Hashem shchinaso alav. What's happening over here? God rested his presence on Avram Avinu, and literally, Avram Avinu almost became like the chariot for God. What does it mean that God appeared to Avram? Shegila Hashem shchinaso elav. God allowed, God revealed his shchina, his divine presence to Avram. Okay, fine. So the Arachaim essentially says same thing as it told us. Yitzchak, not a dialogical revelation, but instead what? Instead of devekos, a revelation of connection. If you look at number four, Rav Sham Shunofal Hirsch says, Vayira elav, ein makom panoi mishchina. Remember again, God is everywhere. Ach lo kol adam zochel yirosa. This is amazing. We believe God is everywhere, but yet we almost often have so much difficulty in perceiving God, in seeing God. So how could it be that if God is everywhere, yet we have difficulty perceiving him? So Hirsch says, because God is everywhere, but not everyone sees him. How can you see God? Rak mi shemasar es nafsho l'Hashem. You want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Then you have to be willing to sacrifice. Then you have to live a life of mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice. Kiderach she'Avram asa zos ze'ato, just as Avram did just now, again, by engaging in circumcision at such an advanced age, zocha liros es p'nei Hashem. He was privileged to be able to see literally the visage or the countenance of God. So if we summarize all of this in our first approach, therefore, again, what's happening over here is vayira I love, according to the Tolos Yitzchak, the Arachaim, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, that God appears to Avram Avinu not for dialogue, not for conversation, but rather, again, for devekos, for a sense of connection, for a heightened sense of divine awareness and revelation. Why does it come now? And ultimately, why does it come now? Because this is right after the bris milah. Okay? After Avram Avinu engaged in such mesiras nefesh, such self-sacrifice, that's why he merited to have this sense of devekos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the lesson for us? Because remember, again, the second part of our question is, what do we learn from this revelation? And of course, what we learn from this revelation is a relationship with God only comes on the heels of sacrifice, right? Remember, again, if we're in the spirit of honesty, if we're honest with ourselves, the truth is, all of us, people, we love the spiritual high. We love the feeling of closeness. We love the intensity of feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but often we want that high without the work. We want that feeling of connection, but I don't really want to go ahead. That's why, again, you'll notice, that's why Kabbalah and general Jewish mysticism has such a draw to it. Because, again, it's such an easy way to be inspired, because it's amazing, it's esoteric. And the truth is, I could kind of show up somewhere, hear something, without doing too much work. But of course we know, that level of spirituality, that level of connection, it evaporates. It leaves just as quickly as it came. So you want to have true dedekos, you want to have true connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a true sense of divine interconnectedness, of closeness. That only comes on the heels of self-sacrifice. That only comes if one is willing to give of themselves. And the truth is, in reality, if one is willing to give themselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Vayera Elav Hashem. Then a person will have revelation. Then a person will be able to see God. Then a person will experience that sense of Devekos. Approach number two. Look at number five. Says Rashi, Levakira Vayera Elav. Why is God appearing to Avram Avinu? Says Rashi, Levakir Esachola. What is God coming to do? Bikur Cholim. God is visiting the sick. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, because Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina said, Yom Shlishi Lemilaso Haya. It was the third day after Avram Avinu's circumcision. And interestingly enough, what's the significance of the third day? So apparently, again, that's the most painful post-circumcision day. We know this fact why. Because in just a few parshios from now, remember again, when Dina is abducted by Shechem ben Hamor. So remember again, Shimon and Levi essentially pull the wool over the eyes of the people of Shechem, tell them to circumcise themselves. And the Torah says that on the third day, Biyosam Ko'avim, when they were in pain, that's when Shimon and Levi came in and essentially wiped out the entire city. So therefore Rashi says, God is appearing to Avraham Avinu for Bikur Cholim, to visit the sick. This was the third day post-circumcision. Uba HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sha'al bishlamo. And Rashi uses an interesting wording over here. God came and literally inquired about Avraham Avinu's well-being. Of course, the problem with that statement, that God inquired of Avraham Avinu's well-being, is what? Right? There's no dialogue, right? Again, that's our whole problem. There's nothing. So watch this. Look what Rashi means. Look at number six. So the Medrash echoes this same basic idea. Actually, Rashi's really quoting it from the Medrash. The Medrash writes, Vayira Elav Hashem, Atam Motzi Batorah Tchilasa Chesed, Ve'emtsa'isa Chesed, V'sofa Chesed. You will find Chesed, acts of charitable kindness, at the beginning of the Torah, the end of the Torah, and the middle of the Torah. Tchilasa Chesed, where's the first act of divine kindness? Shekishet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eschava V'Heviya Ela Adam Shene Emar V'Yiven Hashem Es Atzela. So this is actually very interesting, that according to the Medrash, the first act of kindness that God ever did, literally what this means is that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, after God created the first woman, this is such a beautiful image, the Ribono Shel Olam braided her hair. He braided her hair before he brought her to Adam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would God braid Chava's hair before bringing her to Adam? Because he wanted her to look especially beautiful the first time that Adam laid eyes on her. Such a beautiful image. So that's the first act of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He braided Chava's hair. Shekein korin b'charachem fine. V'sofa chesed. What's the last act of kindness in the Torah? Shekiber esamei shenei emar v'ikbar oso bagai. So what happened? What's the last act of the Torah? Moshe dies. And who buries the great prophet Moses? No one other than God himself. So you have, again, chesed in the acts of kindness in the beginning of the Torah. God braids Chava's hair. Act of chesed at the end of the Torah, God buries Moshe. And what about in the middle? Bem tse'isa, although it's not quite in the middle. Bem tse'isa, chesed, bikir esachola. And where else do you find in the middle? That where do you find chesed, acts of charitable kindness? God visited the sick. Where do we see that God visited the sick? Shene emar, vayira elav Hashem. God appeared to Avram, Lefisha Avram Hayachola min Amila, since Avram was ill from the circumcision, Lekach Nira Elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, God appeared to Avram Avinu to be Mevaker Chola, to visit the sick. If you take a look at number 8, this is actually interesting. Actually, skip down to number 9. So in 7 and 8, the Medrash and the Chizkuni essentially say the same idea, which is what's happening over here, that being that God, so God is appearing to Avraham Avinu for what purpose? Biker Cholim, visiting the sick, day 3 post-circumcision. Look what the Gemara says, and it's actually very important. The Gemara says, Va'amra Micham. So again, well, actually, let's finish this. Va'amra Micham, Mabar Chanina. Ma'i Dichsiv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. So the Pasuk in Mesechah Sota, well, the Pasuk says in Devarim, that you shall go ahead and you shall follow after God. You shall literally, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu means you should walk in the ways of God, or walk behind God. So the Gemara says, V'chi efshar lo la'adam lahalech achar shechina. Is it possible for a person to walk behind God? V'halo kivar ne'emar ki Hashem Elokecha ish ochlohu. But yet the Torah says, God is an all-consuming fire. So what the Talmud is struggling with is there seems to be an inherent contradiction. On one hand, the Torah wants us to engage in divine emulation. The Torah wants us to be like God. On the other hand, God is almost, it is an entity that almost cannot be mimicked, cannot be replicated. So literally the Torah calls him an all-consuming fire. So how can I go ahead and walk in the path of God? How can I mimic or emulate God when God himself is an all-consuming fire? So what does the Talmud answer? Rather what it means is, I'm supposed to emulate divine attributes. Mahu malbisha rumim dichsiv vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam uli'ishto kusnos or ve'abishem. Af ata habeshum, just like God clothes the unclothed, as he gave clothing to Adam and Chava, so too we should take care of those who don't have clothing also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, God visits the sick, dichsiv, vayira elav Hashem be'elonei mamre. Where do we know that God visits the sick? He appeared to Avram after the circumcision. Af ata baker cholim, so too we should also visit the sick. Again, the Gemara goes on, God comforted mourners. How do we know that? Because God appears to Yitzchak after his father Abraham dies, so too we should go ahead and comfort mourners. God buries the dead. As we mentioned before, he buried Moses, he buried Moshe, so too we should bury the dead as well. So, if we take this together, what approach number 2 is telling us is something very profound, which is Vayera Elav Hashem, God is appearing to Avraham Avinu. What's the nature of the revelation, according to this approach of Rashi and the Medrash? Nature of the revelation? Biker Cholim, visiting the sick. What's the lesson for us? Because remember, again, we just said before that we spend our lives trying to reach a state of devekus, ultimately of connection, interconnectedness with God. How do we establish a sense of devekus, connection with God? Through divine emulation. We look at the things that God does, and we do them as well. Therefore, the Torah teaches us in a very nuanced fashion, that God visits the sick, so too we know that one of the ways we can emulate God is to visit the sick as well. And again, but through divine emulation, we reach a state of devekos, of connectedness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, interestingly enough, there is one other piece on this Biker Cholim front. If you take a look at number 10, so this is from the Rush. The Rush, Ravenu Asher, you can see his biography over here, he was a Talmud. He was the primary Talmud of the Maharam of Rotenburg. So the Maharam of Rotenburg was very famous because he was taken captive by the local Gentile ruler, and there was an incredible ransom that was put out to the community, to the Jewish communities of the German Rhineland. And the Maharam of Rotenburg instructed that he not be ransomed, because he understood that if the king was able to extort massive amounts of money from the local communities, this would set a precedent. So the Maharam of Rotenburg died in prison. They were only able to get his remains years after he passed away. Amazingly enough, they tried to arrest, they tried to capture, they tried to kidnap the Rush as Rabbeinu Asher, and he got out pretty much of the German Rhineland right in time. So Rabbeinu Asher is primarily known for his commentary in the back of the Talmud. He codifies the halacha, the Jewish law from the Talmud, but he also wrote a commentary on the Torah. So the Rush writes something amazing over here. He says, Vayera Elav, Perush Rashi, Levakira Sachola. God is appearing to Avraham Avinu for what purpose? To go out and visit the sick. Listen to this. Amar Rabbi Chama, Yom Gimel Milasa Haya, Oba Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Shalo, Perush LePerusha Milashon Vayera, Muchach Shelo Ba El Levakro, Midelok Siv Acharav Lo Amira V'Lo Dibor. So remember, this says the Rush, where do we get this idea that God is appearing to Avraham Avinu for Biker Cholim? Meaning, where does the Medrash get this idea? Granted, the revelation is juxtaposed to the circumcision. But remember, says the Rush, you know where we get it from? That it says God appeared, and yet what? Like we said before, there's no discussion. There's no discussion. So it must be that God is not appearing for discussion, but rather God is appearing for Bikur Cholim. And says the Rush, we learn something very important here. Uba lilami derech eretz. The Torah, see, remember, according to Rashi in the Medrash, the whole takeaway lesson of Vayera Elav Hashem is what? That there is a mitzvah to do Bikur Cholim. There's a mitzvah to visit the sick. Just as God visits the sick, so too, again, we should visit the sick. Says the Rush, the Torah is teaching us much more than just simply that there is an obligation to visit the sick. The Torah is teaching us proper etiquette as to how we fulfill the mitzvah. How so? Listen, this is amazing. Last two lines, number 10. Uba lilami derech eretz. Torah is teaching us derech eretz. Sheyesh lo la'adam levakir achola. A person should go ahead and visit the sick. Va'afilu lo yidaber imo. Even if what? Even if the sick person is not in the mood to talk, doesn't want to converse, kegon shematsu yashen. For example, again, let's say I come and the person is sleeping. V'nechalo kasher yagilo lechole, kiba ploni l'roso, osilo nachas ruach. So you'll say to yourself, well, what good is it to go ahead and visit someone if they're sleeping or they're not going to talk? So which the Rush says, because the knowledge, if I'm sick, the knowledge that someone took the time to come and see me, the knowledge that someone's thinking about me, the knowledge that someone is concerned about me, even if we don't talk, even if we don't converse, even if there's no dialogue, the notion that in my time of difficulty, someone else is there has a therapeutic value for the person who is ill. So according to the Rush, something really amazing comes out over here. Not only is the Torah teaching us that God visits the sick, and therefore we must visit the sick, but the Torah is teaching us about how God visited the sick. What happened? Vayera Elav Hashem. So what happens? God appears to Avram Avinu. And what is Avram Avinu doing? He's sitting by the tent. So no, God knocks, "Hi Avram, here to visit you." And then we would expect that what? We would expect some conversation. But why was there no conversation? Probably Avram Avinu wasn't in the mood. Right? 3 days after circumcision at the age of 99, you're not exactly chatty. Right? He's not feeling it. He doesn't want to talk. And yet what? Amazingly enough, what happens? The Ribono Shel Olam, God, just sits there with him. Kadosh Baruch Hu just kevayachol pulls up a chair, sits down next to Avraham Avinu. There's no dialogue. There's no verbal interaction. Just God sitting next to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, says the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, we see here not just simply about that there's a mitzvah Bikur Cholim, mitzvah visiting the sick, but we ultimately see how to perform the mitzvah. And this is very important, because what this means if we globalize this idea, that what the Torah is really conveying to us is the real concept of being there for the other. See, we have this idea that's expressed in many different ways in Judaism about our need to be there for one another. So we often assume that how do you fulfill the need to being there for another person? If they need something, I do it. But what the Torah is teaching us is that sometimes what a person needs most is companionship. Sometimes what a person needs most is just someone to sit down next to them. Sometimes what a person needs most is just someone else to take away a little bit of the void of loneliness from their life. Sometimes what someone needs most is not a conversation, is not chizuk, is not words of inspiration or words of strength. Sometimes a person just wants to know that someone else is with me in my difficult times. And that's why, interestingly enough, the halacha has an etiquette for how you visit the sick, or the halacha has an etiquette ultimately for how you interact with mourners, right? When you visit the sick, so a person has to be very careful. You know, sometimes you hear people say that the most ridiculous things, right? Why is that? Because often people are, generally, because people are uncomfortable with silence. So what happens? A person goes to visit someone who's ill. The person's not very talkative. You know, it's 90 degrees outside. Oh, you're so lucky you're in here. It's air conditioned. It's wonderful. It's gewaldic. It's great. It's terrible out there. You know, again, so the halacha says, listen, don't talk to the chola. Don't talk to the sick person unless the person wants to talk with you. You're there. Being there for that person is not being chatty. It's not having a conversation. Being there for that person should know that you are there by their side. If they want to talk, then you'll talk. But sometimes people just want to sit in silence and just feel incredible nechama, incredible consolation, incredible strength, just knowing that someone else is there. What does the Shulchan Aruch say by the laws of Avelos? Laws of mourning, a person goes to comfort a mourner. And what is the halacha? Very important halacha. The halacha is, right, you can, if you are the visitor, you cannot speak until spoken to. It is up to the mourner to begin the dialogue, because sometimes when a person suffers a loss, they just don't feel like talking. They just don't feel. So if you're really there for the mourner, then take the cue from the mourner. If the mourner wants to talk, the mourner will speak to you. If the mourner doesn't want to talk, the mourner won't speak. But don't think that your visit is in vain if the mourner doesn't speak to you, because there is such an incredible value to companionship. There's such an incredible value to just knowing that another human being cares enough about you that they took time out of their lives to be next to you. Even if you don't say anything, even if there's no verbal interaction, the knowledge that someone else is there. And where did we learn this concept from? We learn this concept from Vayera Elav Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, appears to Avraham Avinu to do Bikur Cholim. But more important than the fact that God did Bikur Cholim, God visited the sick, was how God did Bikur Cholim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us that the truest way to be there for the other is just simply to be there for the other. Let the other who is in distress dictate what and how they need you to be there for them. But in the absence even of any verbal dialogue, just being in proximity to another who is having a difficult time could sometimes give them so much needed strength. Brings us now to our third approach. So interestingly enough, so Rashi over here, another Rashi, number 11. So Rashi says, Be'ilonei Mamre, so Rashi says, Hu shenasan lo itza al amila, lefichach nigla alav bechalko. So we're going to go on a little bit of a detour over here. So before we get to Vayera Elav Hashem, what the revelation means, what's interesting is where revelation is occurring. So remember, the Torah tells us that revelation is occurring in Elonei Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. Now Mamre was an individual. Mamre is a guy's name. Mamre was a close advisor of Avraham Avinu, and for some reason, Avraham goes to recuperate in Mamre's area, in the plains of Mamre. So Rashi is bothered by, why is Avraham Avinu in the plains of Mamre, and why does the Torah feel the need to tell us that? Meaning, who cares where Avraham Avinu is recuperating? That seems to be immaterial to the storyline. But yet, the Torah has to tell us, not just that he's recuperating, but he's recuperating in the plains of Mamre. Why, says Rashi? Because Mamre apparently gave Avraham Avinu advice about the Bris Milah. And because Mamre gave Avraham Avinu advice about the Bris Milah, therefore, almost as a reward to Mamre, divine revelation occurs on Mamre's property. If you take a look at number 12, so the Medrash says, look at the middle of the first line. V'tema, number 12. V'tema, middle of the first line right after the second period. V'tema, v'chi adam chasha v'tzadik avram, v'nesnase be'eser nisyonos, v'amad bekulon, v'lo sha'al eitza, eich sha'al eitza ala mila shetziva kodesh baruch hu. So the Das HaKinim Baal HaTosafot, the Tosafot, asks a very simple question. They say, according to Rashi, so it sounds like Avraham Avinu asked Mamre's advice about the Mila, about the Bris. So what does that sound like if Avraham Avinu is asking Mamre's advice about the Mila? It makes it sound like what? That Avraham Avinu wasn't sure, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? So he asks Mamre's advice, should I go through with it or not? So asks the Tosafist, what are you talking about? This is Avraham Avinu who passes every single test. This is Avraham Avinu who at the end of the parasha is willing to sacrifice his one and only son from Sari Imenu. What kind of advice is he asking here from Mamre? See, the Medrash, the Das HaKinim said something very interesting. V'yesh lomar, shechas v'shalom shiyishal itzem yamal imlav, ele im ya'ase b'tzina o b'farhesya. Interestingly enough, according to the Das HaKinim, what Avraham Avinu was asking about was the following. Not, should I do the bris, should I not do the bris, but rather what? Should I do the bris publicly? Meaning, should I let it be known what I'm doing? Or perhaps I should do this a little bit more quietly. Like Bitsina, just in private. And Mamre said that you have an incredible opportunity over here to sanctify the name of God by showing people what true allegiance to the divine means. You should absolutely do it publicly. Okay, if you look at number 13, so in the Yaznaim Torah, this is Rav Saratskin. So Rav Saratskin takes a different approach. He says in number 13, and this is 13, we'll start with paragraph A. We're going to skip around a little bit. So he says over here the following. He says, Ukvar shalu rabbi. Many people ask, Eich efshar she'avram avinu, she'amad ba'asar nisyonos, umehen b'kiv shana ish, uba'akidas b'no, velo natal eitzam yishum adam, Kishenetstave ala mila nisayon shakol echad misra omid bo halach litl eitzah me'ohavav. So remember, everybody's bothered by this idea that Avraham Avinu is seeking counsel and advice from Mamre. Why is he seeking counsel and advice from Mamre? When Avraham Avinu stands that he does whatever he's told. Lech lecha, he goes. Out for Yitzchak, he goes. And for Bris Mila, he has to suddenly ask counsel. So quote the Yazayim Torah writes, he says, Umahaya Ose, Avraham Avinu, Anar Eshkelo Mamre, Hayu Omrim Lo Pe'echad, Shelo Lamo, Ha'im Chas Hashalom Lahayim Mekayim Mitzvah Hashem. So asks the Yazayim Torah, and tell me, and if Mamre would have said to Avraham, listen, I think it's a bad idea. I just think it's straight out a bad idea. Does that mean that Avraham Avinu would not have answered, would not have listened to God? He says, "V'hine Avram shetedabik b'midosa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenemar." Skip down a little bit. He says, "I'm sorry. Actually, don't skip down." V'hine Avram shetedabik b'midosa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenemar ki ani Hashem oiv mishpat sone gezel ba'avla haya bevaday zar b'shasha haya holich lekayim mitzvos baro lisponing. Paragraph B. So Hazan Torah says something amazing. You know what the greatness of the Abrahamic personality was? It wasn't just simply that he did what God asked of him. But rather, when Avraham Avinu acted, he acted in a way, he served God. But he always wanted to make sure that his service of God never put, and was never a detriment or a disadvantage to anyone. Now understand what this means. So sometimes in life, people assume that if they're doing the right thing, and especially in the service of God, if I'm serving God, so any collateral damage is inconsequential. So if I am serving God and I'm on a mission of life holiness, the fact that I may hurt your feelings, the fact that I may put you at a disadvantage, the fact that I may compromise you in a certain way, it's not my problem. I'm exempt from all of that because I have a higher calling. I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatness, and this happens all the time, the greatness of Avraham Avinu was, he realized that he was a servant of God and he was going to do anything and everything in his power to serve God. But whenever he served God, he always did it with an eye towards the other. He always wanted to make sure that whatever he did would never put anyone else at a disadvantage. So watch this. He says, paragraph B, Kishenitstave lamul es avra, es atzmo, ves kol anshe beso, biom echad, choshav avram umatza, ki afshar shiagia mize hefzed la anshe briso, ana eshkol mamre. Says this, I'm a Torah, when Avraham Avinu was given the command to circumcise himself and his entire household on one day, he realized that fulfilling this command could put his allies at a disadvantage. Remember, who are his allies? Three men by the name of Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. These are the Abrahamic allies. If I circumcise my entire household on one day, I could potentially create a vulnerability for my allies. How so? He says, Shareim sochim al shinyun ches chanicha b'yilei debeso, sheyazru lahem b'mikra shamil chama, u'kishayama osam avram yomechar, v'yipulu l'mishkav, v'yisparsim adar b'yilei. So the Zam Torah says like this. What could happen? Remember, Avraham Avinu, he's going with the idea that we saw in last week's parasha, that Avraham Avinu went out to fight the war, in the war of the four kings against the five, that Avraham Avinu had a small army. Does Naim Latorah suggest that it was that army that was responsible not just for the safety and well-being of Avraham's family, but also for the families of his allies, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre? So what happens now? What happens if Avraham Avinu and his entire family, all of the men are circumcised on one day, then what happens? Now what happens? Essentially, you've neutralized your army, at least for some period of time. Should word get out that Avraham Avinu's entire army has just been circumcised, it creates a vulnerability, ultimately, again, for everyone. It opens them up for attack. So therefore, says Hazan Torah something amazing. When Avraham Avinu approaches Mamre for advice, he's not asking Mamre, should I do the bris or not do the bris? Avraham Avinu was going to do the bris because that's what God commanded him. So why did he go to Mamre? He was saying to Mamre, listen, I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of my heart and with my entire body. I'm going to do what he asks of me. But let's figure out together how I can do this without it compromising you. My religiosity, my spirituality, my service of God should not come by trampling upon the other. My connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not come at a disadvantage to you. Says that's what it means when he consulted Mamre. Not should I do it or shouldn't I do it? Of course I'm doing it. But how should I do it? How can I do what I'm supposed to do, what I need to do, without in any way compromising the other? Take a look at number 14. Rav Kook takes this in a different approach. Rav Kook writes, and this is really, this Rav Kook, I have to warn you, is exceptionally dramatic, and will forever change the way you look at Avraham Avinu. So if you're happy with the way you've got Avraham Avinu, you could leave, right? But again, this is one of the most powerful pieces I've seen. Rav Kook writes the following, paragraph A, 14a. Vayira elav Hashem Elonei Mamre. Avram, me'ez shena'ase av liyitzchok, shu'as cholos shoroshen sheyisrael, mini az nifrad mehamon ha'aretz ayedei amila. Kinir medivrei chazal. Listen to this. Before I translate those first lines, Rav Kook quotes a medrash, and this is an amazing medrash. The medrash writes, so when the Medrash writes like this, when God commanded Avram about the mitzvah of circumcision, God turned around to Avram and he said the following: Ad achshav hayu bnei adam boyim elai. Until now, remember, you know, Avram Avinu was a people person, right? It was very different. His son Yitzchak was not a people person. Avram was a people person. How did Avram Avinu turn people on to God? How did he expose people to monotheism? The truth is, it wasn't really because he was, I mean, maybe he was a great lecturer, a great orator, could be, but the truth is, in the eyes of Chazal, how did Avram Avinu go ahead and turn people on to monotheism? Through connection. Through relationship, personal connection. He had them over to eat, right? He fed them, he became friends with them. They related to him. So says the Medrash something amazing. When God commanded Avraham Avinu to do the Mila, Avraham Avinu said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until now, till this point, people come to me. Why? Why? Medrash says, hey, but what Avraham Avinu means, because they could relate to me, because they understand me, because I'm one of them, because I come from the same background, because I understand who they are, what they are, their struggles. Achshav lo yiyu boy melai. But now, once I do the Bris Mila, they're going to stop coming. Why are they going to stop coming?
They see it in their future.
Right, exactly. Because, oh boy, right? Oh, that's what service of God means. You know, I'll pass on the free lunch. Thanks a lot. Right? But I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. So what happens? Actually, so what is the Medrash saying? Avraham Avinu is scared. I've dedicated an entire life to the principle of exposing mankind to monotheism, of bringing God to the people and bringing the people to God. And now you're asking me to do something that essentially is going to what? It's going to make me a pariah in society. See, remember, you have to think about it. Nobody was circumcised. There was no circumcision. So people hear, can you imagine like when people hear about this for the first time? It's craziness. That's okay. People are going to think I'm a nut. People are going to think I've simply gone off the deep end. And no one is going to want to have anything to do with me. And remember, this is not just Avraham Avinu afraid of not having any friends. That's not what this is about. This is Avraham Avinu scared and almost frightened about being unable to continue his life work because people will no longer be able to relate to him or want to have any connection with him. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God said to him, listen, until this point in time, only uncircumcised people came to you. But God says, don't worry, because even if the people stop coming, I and my entire host of the heavenly legions, we will join you. Says Rav Kook, what's happening over here? Venira, shezu haise ikar kavanas Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom, b'ma sheshal al itza al amila, k'divri chazal, mipnei ma nigla alav b'chalko shal mamre, mipnei shenoson lo itza al amila, asher yipoli me'od, eich yitochein al rosh lama'aminim alav ha-shalom, sheyishal itza in yemolei divar Hashem yisparach, so okay. So the first part of Kook says we have this medrash that says Avraham Avinu is struggling with Bris Mila, not because he has a problem with performing the mitzvah on himself, but because he has a problem with what that mitzvah will mean for his ability to continue his own life work. Okay. So what does the Torah tell us? What does the medrash tell us? That Avraham Avinu went to ask advice from Mamre. He went to ask advice from Mamre. Asks Rav Kook the same question that everybody else has been asking, which is what? If the same Avraham Avinu, who passed all the other tests and never asked advice, why is he asking advice over here? Paragraph B. V'liyira. So Rav Kook says, it appears to me, she'itochin hadavar shenisyare pen al yidei amila lo yu b'nei adam mitzuyin etzlo ba'asher yaruhu nifrad mehem ba'os mitzuyin b'gufo gam yurim mekabel hadrachoso. V'yachshavu ulai yechayev gam osamazeh. So he says, Rav Kook, what is our Mavinu concerned about? Nobody's going to want to have anything to do with him. Because what's going to happen? He's going to teach us about God, and then he's going to force us to do this circumcision as well. No, everybody's going to distance themselves. Al-kein, yibadlu mimenu. Everyone who had a connection with Avraham Avinu until now will find a way to distance themselves from him going forward. V'davar zeh, yihyeh mineged l'chol tachlis ma'asof. And says Rav Kook, this would go against the very grain of Avram's work. Shekivein likra ba'olam b'shem Hashem ha'keel olam, lo diyash moysa paragraph si ba'olam, va'ayitei yispar b'nei adam imenu, lo yuchal lahafik chayfet zu. So listen to this. So Rav Kook goes on to say something absolutely amazing. This is the dramatic part. Rav Kook says that Avraham Avinu literally contemplated not fulfilling the mitzvah of Mila. And he made the following calculation. Maybe it is better not to fulfill a divine command, but be able to have a greater impact on humanity than to fulfill the divine command and effectively end my sphere of influence on humanity. And by the way, we do have this concept in halacha that sometimes we allow the violation of certain smaller things for some greater good. We call that es lasos lahashem hefaru sarasecha. There are times that we have to violate a smaller something in order to keep the larger system intact. So says Rav Kook, and this is an incredible revolutionary chiddush, incredible novel idea, that Avraham Avinu is literally, and what's even more amazing about it, by the way, is this is the same Avraham Avinu who doesn't struggle with the Akedah, doesn't struggle with the binding of his son, but yet amazing, says Rav Kook, he struggles, should I perform the mitzvah of Mila or not? I know God commanded me to do it, but I also know, and remember again, I also know that what? That if I do this mitzvah, it is the end of my life work. And Avraham Avinu has no doubt about that. How does he have no doubt about that? Because remember, God confirmed that for him. Because what did God say to Avram in the Medrash? God says, you're right, no one's going to visit you, but it's okay, I'm going to visit you. So Avram Avinu says, oh my gosh. Meaning, I thought maybe people will stay away from me. From God's response, it's clear that God realizes people really will stay away from me. So Avram Avinu literally struggles, should I do the bris milah or not? And perhaps it's better to suffer a little bit of divine wrath for non-compliance with the circumcision obligation in order to be able to fulfill my life's work of spreading the word of God. So how does he resolve this tension? Listen to this, paragraph D. So who does he go to? He goes to Mamre. The Haisa Eitzas Mamre. So listen to this. What is Mamre? Now remember, well, you'll see the irony. Mamre, he goes to Mamre, and Mamre tells him, She'ein lehischakim al devar Hashem Yisbarach. Don't be smarter than God. Don't be smarter than God. You know, it's amazing. We always have this problem, right? Sometimes we get our greatest mussar from the nations of the world who sometimes see things with a greater clarity than we see ourselves. Here's Avraham Avinu, right? The poster child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the right hand of God, and yet he's contemplating non-compliance with the circumcision commandment, and it takes Mamre to tell him, what are you doing? Don't be smarter than God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something. Yes, there may be repercussions. Yes, there may be ramifications. There may be collateral damage or fallout. But you know what? That's what God asked you to do. And you don't have a right to second-guess divine commands. He goes on. Al-Kain, therefore, Rav Kook goes on to explain that therefore, the reward for Mamre for giving this advice to Avraham Avinu, so therefore, what? Was that revelation took place on the property of Mamre. Now, skip down a little bit. He goes on, he says, if you skip, Go to paragraph E. Amnam nisracha kubnei adam Avram mine ashen esbarach biyitzchak. So Rav Kook says, well, how does the story end? So remember, according to Rav Kook, what's so dramatic about this is that Avraham Avinu literally struggles whether or not to comply with the mitzvah of Mila. And why does he comply with it? Because Mamre gives him Musar. Mamre tells him, don't be smarter than God. So what does happen at the end? So says Rav Kook, well, you know what? The truth is it played out exactly as everybody thought it would. Pretty much from the birth of Yitzchak and on, we don't see Avraham Avinu interacting with people. Because pretty much from the birth of Yitzchak, remember again, Yitzchak is born about a year after the Bris, which pretty much means what? That from the time of the Bris Mila going forward, Avraham Avinu lost his ability to really impact humanity. because people did think that he was a nut. People thought that he was crazy. Now, remember, you know, it's always interesting. People thought he was barbaric. Yet again, remember the prevalent form of idolatry in the Mesopotamian area during this time was sacrificing your children to Molech. You know, so it's interesting how people define barbaric behavior. So again, people thought he was crazy. People thought he went off the deep end. And says Rav Chuk, in reality, from the birth of Yitzchak and on, Avraham Avinu does not impact humanity. Remember, again, like we saw in last week's shiur, we saw again, Avraham Avinu only begins first 30, from 3 to 40, he finds God. 40 to 70, he begins gathering disciples. 70 to 99 is when he tries to influence the Mesopotamian area. Pretty much 99 is where his effectiveness ends. Yes?
Wouldn't you just say he was old and he had done his job?
That would be true if it was true. Meaning that the problem is, first of all, he's not so old. He's only 99. Remember, biblical 99, he lived to 175. So, meaning later on, the Torah says, Va'avraham zakein ba bayomim. Torah tells us when Avraham Avinu is too old to do anything more. But apparently, I'm sorry? I don't know if Mamre was circumcised or not. It sounds like everybody associated with Avraham Avinu was circumcised, but I don't know. So Kolbani Beis, I don't know if Mamre is part of his bias or not, or just an ally. I don't know. So, yes?
So he still had his interaction with people.
It doesn't say anybody came. Right? I'm saying it just, he made a big party. He made a big party. Who knows? Who knows? Who shut up? Again, when we say, also remember, when Rav Kook says that he lost his ability to impact, it doesn't have to literally mean that nobody spoke to him. But what it meant is he was unable to do his life's work as he had done it in the past. That was the reality of the circumstance. Meaning, Rav Kook says the postscript of the story plays out exactly in the way that Avraham Avinu feared. He feared becoming a pariah. He feared being isolated. And the truth is, that's what happened. But Rav Kook says something amazing. Rav Kook says, "V'haisa ara ma'ashem yisparach elav." So says Rav Kook. So why? You know, you have to ask yourself. It almost seems like cruel. You know, Avraham Avinu sacrificed so much to be Avraham Avinu, and he was so good at being Avraham Avinu, being like the mouthpiece of God, spreading the word of God. And now, because he serves God, he can't do the very thing that he feels he was put on this earth to do. So why do that to him? And Rav Kook says something amazing. Rav Kook writes, he says, "V'haisa'ar," this was all by divine orchestration, all by divine plan. "She'yasim me'ata kol me'ayonav L'chinuch Yitzchak." Because what God didn't want Avram to save the world anymore. You did your part for the world. You know what I need you to be wholly and solely focused on? Your own child. I need you to be focused on Yitzchak. I need you, again, you saved the world, wonderful, you did what you can. Now I need you to plow every last ounce of Abrahamic energy into Yitzchak, into your son. Ki mimenu. Because your son will be the continuity of your tradition. He will be the cornerstone of the world. Because the only way you could generate light in this world for others is if you first cultivate your own personal light. Okay, so Rav Kook goes on. So according to Rav Kook, something amazing happens over here. Avraham Avinu struggles with the mitzvah of Milah, considers actually not performing it in order to go ahead and continue his work. Mamre tells him, no, yeah, don't be smarter than God. Avram does the bris Milah. Ultimately, people do distance themselves from him, but by design, because at this point in his life, God wants Avram to devote all of his energy towards Yitzchak. So now let's bring this all together. So remember again, so what does Vayera Elav Hashem symbolize according to Rav Kook? What Vayera Elav Hashem symbolizes is what? That at this moment, according to Rav Kook, right after the end of last special, Avraham Avinu does the Milah, what happens? He's all alone. Vayera Elav Hashem. So what is the Torah trying to teach us? So perhaps Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us in a very nuanced fashion that there are times in life where you have to be ready to stand alone. You know, the amazing part is that so often in life there are things we want to do, things we know we need to do, but we're too afraid to do it because either it'll distance us from other people or it's different than what other people do. And so very often we tie our own hands to accomplish great things in life because there's safety in numbers and I like to just be part of the group. But sometimes to accomplish great things in life, You have to be willing to stand alone. Sometimes to accomplish great things in life, you have to leave the security and safety of the collective and venture out on your own just a little bit. The amazing part is that if you find the courage to do what you need to do, assuming that it's correct, assuming that it's holy, you're never fully alone. Because the Ribono Shel Olam is always by your side, always holding your hand, always guiding you in every step. And says Rav Kook, that's what's unfolding over here. Avraham Avinu is a pariah. Avraham Avinu is isolated. Why? Why? Not of his own choosing. Because at the end of the day, he yielded his will before the will of God. Because at the end of the day, he did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of him. But now I'm isolated. Vayira Elav Hashem. There's no dialogue. There's no dialogical connection. There's no dialogue. There's no conversation. There's no discussion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply sits himself down in Avram Avinu's tent because Avram, I know how alone you must feel at this very moment. I just want you to know that you are not alone. I just want you to know that I will be there with you at the end of the day, every step of the way. Lesson number two that comes from here is that sometimes you need to distance yourself from certain things in order to be able to focus on what's important. You know, it's interesting. I think many of us, at the beginning of each week, start with a to-do list. I've spoken about this before. There are so many things we want to accomplish, and some of them are more important, some of them are less important. And yet, amazingly enough, sometimes we don't accomplish the important things we want to accomplish. Why not? Why not? Because our energies get diffused in so many different directions. Because even though I know this project A that I have to do, but you know, I get sidetracked with this, I get sidetracked with that, and I lose my focus. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's Avram Avinu's tachlis? What's his ultimate, what's his destiny? His destiny ultimately, again, is to create almost a dynasty of monotheism. It's to create a nation. Well, it's wonderful. Again, you've been busy saving humanity. That's fantastic. But guess what? Humanity is not going to be your future. You know who your future is? Your future is going to be your son. Only your son, Yitzchak. And therefore again, what happens over here? You have to go ahead. God says, Aaron, you have to take a step back. You have to remove yourself from everything in order to be able to focus on that which is important. So two-pronged lesson over here. Now, according to Rav Kook, number one, you have to be ready to stand alone when life calls upon you to do great things. Number two, there are times that you have to distance yourself in order to be able to focus on that which is truly important. But Vayera Alav Hashem teaches us that even in those moments when you are trying to accomplish something great and you feel so alone and you feel so like a pariah, like an outcast, just know that if what you're doing is meaningful, what you're doing is holy, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is always by your side, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be holding your hand every step of the way. Now, just two more minutes. If we bring this all together, so now we've established three different approaches in understanding Vayera Elav Hashem. So remember again, approach number one that we saw was the Todos Yitzchak, the Arachayim, Rav Shlomo Shneofel Hirsch, that Vayera Elav Hashem means what? Divine revelation, connection, dveikus, interconnectedness. Why is it happening over here? Self-sacrifice. Avraham Avinu has literally engaged in an incredible act of self-sacrifice. Therefore, he's privileged to have this sense of connection with God. Approach number two, Bikur Cholim. Why is God appearing to Avraham Avinu to visit the sick? Torah is teaching us, A, about the obligation to visit the sick, and also, according to the Rush, about how to visit the sick, how to be there for the other. Sometimes it just means literally being there for the other. We saw approach number three, which is what's happening over here. Avraham Avinu has had to take a dramatic stand that has distanced him from all of humanity. He feels alone. Just know that sometimes in life you have to take dramatic stands. You have to do dramatic things. They separate you. They isolate you. But if it's meaningful, if it's right, if it's correct, God will always be by your side. The common denominator between these three approaches is that Vayera Elav Hashem represents essentially a state of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means connection with Hashem, right? That's via connection, whatever the connection means. Connection of Dveikus, connection of Bikur Cholim, connection of not leaving the individual alone. But here's what's so intriguing about this. So go back to number one for just a moment. I know we only have two more minutes. So I just want to show you this quickly. Go back to number one for just one moment. So remember again, now let's go back to the storyline for just a moment. So God has appeared to Avraham Avinu for all these different revelation purposes. Incredible, incredible revelation. What happens? Avraham Avinu is sitting at the entrance of the tent. He sees three men. He sees three men, three nomads outside. What does he do? What does he do? Vayari sees them. I'm reading now number one, Pasuk Beis, verse two. Vayaras likrasam. He gets up and he runs to greet them. What's the problem? The Ribono Shel Olam is sitting right there next to you. God has come to visit you, right? It's Bikur Cholim. God has come to tell you that you're not alone. God tells you that He loves you. It's Devekos, it's connection. The Ribono Shel Olam is sitting in your tent. He's come to dwell with you, not to talk, but just to be your companion. And you see three guys out there in the sand, and suddenly you're running away from God to go ahead and greet them. In fact, again, take a look at number 15. Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, now remember again, this Rashi is commenting over here, when Avraham Avinu goes ahead and goes to greet the three men, he says, Vayomer Adonai, my master, please, don't pass me by. So most of the Mefarshim understand that Avraham Avinu is speaking to the three men. Right, he's telling them, please, my masters. He's referring to them in a very deferential tone. My masters, please don't pass by my tent. Please come in for something to eat. Rashi says, no. Take a look at the second line in number 15. Davar acher, kodeshu, v'hayo omer la'akadosh baruch hu lahamtin lo, ad sheyaretz v'yachneses ha'archim. Rashi says, no. Avram's Adonai does not refer to the three men. Who does it refer to? It refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That what Avram, can you imagine this scene? God is just the Pirtarama for companionship, devekos, interconnectedness, an incredible revelation of just closeness and love and companionship. And God, and Avraham Avinu essentially says to God, God, give me a sec. You know, do me a favor, don't go anywhere. Right? Can you imagine this? Ribono Shel Olam, King of Kings, Master of the Universe, do me a favor, I got to run out for a second. Don't go anywhere. Just stay here. Besides the fact that it sounds, it's chutzpahdik, it would appear, on two different levels. On the level, first of all, that you're leaving when God is here with you. Okay, and if you need to leave, that's one thing. But then what? Don't ask God to wait for you, right? I mean, God has a couple of other things to attend to in the interim, right? So if you want to say, we'll catch up with each other later on, that's fine. But to say, A, I'm leaving, and B, wait for me. So look at number 16. So this is a beautiful piece. A beautiful piece from Nechama Leibowitz. So Nechama Leibowitz writes, and this is so beautiful. She writes, hospitality. Remember again, Avraham Avinu is going for Achnasas Archim. He's going to welcome guests into his home. Hospitality, which is the keynote of our Sidra, constitutes the classic example of love of humanity, altruism, and good deeds in general. The welcoming of the divine presence symbolizes here the mystic enjoyment of direct communion with the Almighty, reserved for the righteous in the hereafter. In the above dictum of the sages, the view is enunciated that practical good deeds take precedence over any abstract spiritual enjoyment. Under the impress of this revelation of the divine presence and infinite honor paid to him, Abraham rushed all eagerness. Rushed all eagerness to fulfill the duty of hospitality to the three strangers who stood at the roadside. He did not linger for a moment in the toils of mystic communion with his Creator, but ran to attend to the practical tasks of making welcome some tired and weary wanderers who required food, shelter, and rest. Note how the Torah underlines the eagerness with which Abraham attends to all the wants of his guests in order to serve as an example of true hospitality. The motif words expressing Abraham's haste and eagerness recur over and again. So what is the Nechama Leibowitz saying? This is amazing. She says, you know, the goal of life is not revelation. The goal of life is not to live in a constant state of communion and connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the goal of life? The goal of life is to do good things. The goal of life is dynamic actions. The goal of life is not to sit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side in a wonderful state of spiritual ecstasy. The goal of life is to make the world a little bit of a better place, to do something that gives to others, to do something that improves the plight of others, not just to wait. People think that ultimately, again, that, you know, the highest level of life, the highest level of spiritual life that one could reach in life is nevuah, prophecy, is communion with the divine. It's not true, says Nechama Leibowitz. That's not the highest level. The highest level in life is to know that you're making a difference in this world through your own dynamic actions. It's to know that you're doing something to help the other. You're doing something to make the world a little bit better. So she explains, Avraham Avinu is not being chutzpahdik at all. Avraham Avinu is showing us what being a monotheist, really what being a Jew, is all about. That being a Jew is not being in the ivory tower of spirituality, just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu all alone, the two of us together in a beautiful state of spiritual communion. You know what it means to be a Jew? It means that you grab and you seize every opportunity to make the world just a little bit better, even if it means telling the Ribono Shel Olam, I gotta go because there's someone else who needs my help. I gotta go because there's someone else that I could make their lives a little bit better. And you know what the amazing part is? The Ribono Shel Olam tells Avraham Avinu, go right ahead. I'll wait for you. I'll be back here when you come back, because Avraham Avinu is fulfilling the ultimate Ratzon HaBorei. So what comes out again from these simple words, Vayera Elav Hashem, are some incredible life lessons. Number one, we learn the idea that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu only comes about because of sacrifice. Number two, we learn that ultimately connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we learn that goal in life is divine emulation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us how to be there for others, and sometimes being there for others simply means, literally, being there for others. From Vayera Lev Hashem, we learn that there are times in life where we have to stand separate and distinct from those around us, and we have to find the courage to do so, knowing that as lonely as we may feel in those moments, there, although people around us may leave us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never does. And the last lesson we learned from Vayera Lev Hashem is that life is not really about the ivory tower of spirituality. Life is not about communion with God. Life is not about finding spiritual ecstasy. Life is about doing. Life is about accomplishing. Life is about helping. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Meretz Hashem will pick up next week.
Thank you very much.
There's Maariv in the Beis Medrash. That's beginning now.